if I did play the air guitar, this would be my moment.
Bam-a-lam.
This is some nice air guitar.
Black Betty.
Hi, everybody. It's Phil F. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. We hope you had a marvelous Father's Day. Did you, Wendy? Did you have a marvelous Father's Day?
Jimmy Mack had a marvelous Father's Day.
Yeah.
We were going to go to our beach club, but it was...
A little too overcast.
I would have had to wear a sweatshirt. It was kind of chilly yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
So we did Red Lobster.
For the seafood lover in
you. Yes, we like the Cheddar Bay biscuits. And
wait, is Long John Silver for the seafood lover in you? I may have misspoke.
No, I think Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
Yeah.
So, we just had a good day. Got him a Han Solo book.
Oh,
there's a new Han Solo book.
That he didn't already have?
Believe it or not, no.
Huh. How about that?
Do you buy gifts for your husband on Father's Day?
I have teenage boys. They don't really shop yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I help out.
Right. So you get it.
Because they're 20 and 16.
They don't. Well, Dylan just started working, so he has no money.
Yeah.
And
it is the responsibility, more times than not, of the husband and or wife to
help
come up with the gifts. Right. Yeah.
In fact, Michael said, get him this Zeppelin book, which I said, no, we should go Han Solo. And looks like Jim wanted the Zeppelin book, too. So he may be getting both a day late.
That's all right. It still counts. You get a week. You get a grace period.
How was your Father's Day?
It was really nice. I would have preferred slightly nicer weather because it's the middle of June.
It was like a fall day.
I know. Bill Cosby had an interesting Father's Day, Wendy. He put on his Twitter account these words, "Hey, hey, hey, it's America's dad.
God.
I know it's late, but to all of you dads, it's an honor to be called a father. So let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities." That a tweet yesterday from Bill Cosby.
He's still on that whole father's thing, huh?
He's still trying to play up the father's angle.
You got to be there and present for your kids.
He was, for a very long time, America's dad, or a prominent a member of the America's Dad Society.
And he really pushed for dads to be there for their children.
He sure did. It says here, Mr. Cosby's message of telling these men who have been incarcerated for many years but are up for parole soon, to take the word disadvantage and remove the dis part of disadvantage, start focusing on the advantage part. That advantage is to be better fathers and productive citizens. But guess what? You know how Twitter works, right? Some people were upset with Bill Cosby's words, Wendy. Hard to imagine. Yeah, hard to imagine. Here's some tweets that came after Bill Cosby. You really can't read a room, can you? Said one. Which is great because... As a guy who is one of the best stand-up comics of all time, that's one of the tools in your kit is reading the room. But no, here's another one: 45,000 views, but only 378 likes. I think it's safe to say America has fired you, Pops. Here's another tweet: not so much dad as a creepy uncle that we all stopped inviting to Thanksgiving. You are still not invited, Bill. This may be the best one, though, Wendy. This is from a woman named M. Bell, who tweeted this to Bill Cosby. Hey, 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 it's time for you to go away.
That's pretty
very
good.
Much in the tradition of your Fat Albert.
I thought that's what she was going to say. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, Albert. Hey, time for you to go away.
Wow.
That's my real voice.
And scene.
This deep voice that I use on the air, that's not my real voice. The one you just heard, that's the way I really talk.
What control you have.
Yeah, well, you know.
Here's other Twitter news that I was looking at on Father's Day yesterday. O.J. Simpson now on Twitter. And I got to tell you guys, I was back and forth as to whether or not I should follow him.
And you are following him.
I am not.
Oh, you're not? Good for you. I'm proud of you. That's
I know.
Great.
I thought of you. I had little Bill Leff on my left shoulder and me on the right shoulder.
Yeah.
I loved O.J. Simpson. I did a book report on him in elementary school.
Yeah.
He was a great running back, good old number 32, Buffalo Bills, loved him.
Pre-stabbing O.J., a pretty good guy. Post-stabbing O.J.? Mm-mm.
I know, and I was ready to click follow, and then I read, you know, his tweet from a day ago. Here's what he tweeted: "Killer? Question mark. You got the wrong guy. Only crime I was convicted of was trying to get my stuff back."
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at it, going, "What?" And he is, he's posting people's tweets to him and then responding. Like, there's a Lori girl who tweeted at the OJ Simpson 32, "Hey OJ, happy anniversary, 25 years since you killed Nicole and Ron." And he posted that, and then he responds to that going, "Want to hear some crazy beep stuff?"
Yeah.
We'll just say, yeah. "Court system disagrees." So he is like putting bad tweets that people tweet to him.
He's egging people on. He wants there to be some conflict with people.
Well, no, they have tweeted and he just kind of copies and pastes and responds to it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Is there like a TV deal coming up or something?
I don't think there is. Is there?
I know nothing about it.
I don't
I've
think
not heard
so.
Anything, but
you mean to put him on TV?
Yeah, because if he just joins Twitter and all of a sudden he's back in the public eye, you would think that maybe there's like a 25th anniversary special. OJ tells his story.
I wonder.
This is one of my favorites. Bills give out OJ Simpson's number 32 for the first time in 42 years because 1027820 wouldn't fit on the back of a jersey.
God.
And he responds, "Love my Bills, but damn, this one hurts." I couldn't follow him, but I'm still looking at it. But I'm not following him, people.
No, you shouldn't follow. You don't want to follow him, do you?
I couldn't get myself to do it.
Yeah.
I know.
I feel dirty, right?
Are you shocked?
No, I'm very happy for you. That shows a lot. Because I'm sure it's entertaining to read his stuff, but...
I can still read it without following him.
Oh. Oh. All right. There's always a side door, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm not officially following
him. All right. That's good news. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we've got all kinds of stuff planned, so please stay where you are. I see a rector, and I want it. Still left, it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. You know, I think we were talking about this off-air last week. I don't remember if this came on air, but it always seems like at this time of the year, you get clips of celebrities making commencement addresses at various colleges. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's not very good. But there haven't really been too many of those this year. I don't know why.
Yeah, you're
Isn't
right.
Isn't that strange? Usually you see Amy Poehler speaking somewhere, Stephen Colbert speaking somewhere, and you see clips of it. For some reason, you're not seeing a lot of that this year. I did find this. It's a high school in San Diego. I don't know if you've seen clips of this or not. It's a girl who went up. Natalie Boer is her name. And she ripped the school to shreds during her speech. Most notably the teachers that she didn't feel were doing a good job.
That's lame.
Here's what she says. You would think so, but by the same token, when you hear her words, it kind of makes sense. Because it's just a girl speaking out saying, a lot of these teachers are just sleepwalking through their job, and I wanted more than that. But she's very specific.
There's a time and a place for that, I guess, to get everyone's attention.
It worked. It definitely worked. Here's what she says. This is Natalie Boer, who spoke at San Ysera High School in San Diego. "To my counselor, thank you for letting me fend for myself. You were always unavailable. You expressed to me your joy in having one of your students be valedictorian when you had absolutely no role in my achievements." She accused a teacher of showing up to school drunk by saying, "To the teacher that was regularly intoxicated during class this year, thank you for using yourself to teach these students about the dangers of alcoholism." Boer sarcastically praised the main office staff for teaching her to be resourceful over apparent incompetence. She said, "Your negligence to inform me of several scholarships until the day before they were due potentially caused me to miss out on thousands of dollars," she said. "When applying for a work permit, you repeatedly turned me away, despite confirming with my employer and my parents that all of my paperwork was filled out correctly. It's unfortunate that the words of a student like this are taken away from the positive," said an official for the school. "There are a lot of teachers working very hard for our students. It's unfortunate that she decided to air her grievances."
I agree. I think
Not
that's the wrong place. And to me, it sounds like you're blaming everyone else for your problems.
How do you think the crowd reacted?
Well, I'm sure the kids loved it.
Loved it.
I'm sure the teachers did not.
Hated it.
I would have,
What about the parents?
They, it seems, loved it.
I don't know.
For the most part.
I would have been sitting there going, shame on her. I would have hoped that the principal had to walk up on stage for something and accidentally tripped over the cord and unplugged the microphone.
Don't you think, though, that the mere fact that she achieved the level she achieved, she's the class valedictorian, she's at the top of the class, so the mere fact that it came from her says something.
Although she's the one who doesn't need as much help as kids who aren't valedictorian.
So true.
I think it's terrible.
I remember when I was in high school, there was three girls that were in the running for valedictorian, and the counselors had to keep their mouth shut about what each of them were doing. They really couldn't give them a lot of guidance. They can help them, but like, they always want to know their standing and where they were at, and it became a competition. So like, they just had to keep doing the best that they could those last couple of quarters.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because it was a competition for money and, you know, to get ahead in college and all of that. So it was kind of...
Don't you see this, what this girl Natalie did, though, as something of a wake-up call saying, look, I'm graduating. I'm done. I did all I needed to do. But in the future, if you're one of these teachers or staff at the school that really needs to be more hands-on, I've already called you out. Maybe you might want to try a little bit harder in the future.
Well, she should have called them out to the principal before, like, my teacher's drunk. Why wait to save it for there?
Right.
And, I mean, these are three or four teachers she singled out. What about the ones that are fantastic who have really changed a kid's life?
I'm sure there are plenty of those.
Well, I think she brought it all down.
And what if that person really isn't drunk constantly? That's defamation.
Well, not constantly.
Just drunk every now and then.
4 out of the 5 days.
Or hungover.
Days a week,
come
drunk.
On.
Right. That's
just,
okay.
Just lingering from last night.
Can I turn this around and just ask? Because what if that was your daughter that was up there saying these things? Would you have a feeling? Because I'd be embarrassed.
If I knew for sure that what she was saying was accurate, I would say this is as good a time as any to bring this out. Why not? I know the role of that particular day is to say, hey, it's the end. We made it. It's the finish line. But if there's problems that are going to continue with the school, you have everyone's attention.
That's true. You have everyone's attention. It's just whether or not it's the right place to do it. Again, I like to think back of, you know, being nice to people. I just feel like this criticism comes out so frequently.
Right.
It's very brave of her to do it.
Oh, so brave of her.
Did they take her diploma away?
No, they still gave her a diploma. We cannot play it now because of time constraints, but hopefully on the bonus hour we'll play this. A couple of years ago, there was a school in Maryland, a college in Maryland, that hired a guy to do the commencement speech who was so ill-prepared and awful at it that it may be the worst commencement speech of all time. It's just horrendously bad. We don't have time to play it here. You can find it online, or we'll play some clips of it during the bonus hour. But you can't believe that this guy was speaking to these kids this way, because he just did everything wrong.
You love this kind
of
stuff.
It's so great. Because here's why. I know for sure he got paid, and more than likely a pretty good sum of money. And you could tell he didn't put a second of thought into this thing at all. He just goes up there and does everything wrong.
So he shouldn't get paid then.
I don't think so either. It's from years ago. I think it's from 2011.
I can't
but
wait.
But I've heard it a couple times. I played it again this morning in the office. And I would be so, like, if they were handing me a check at the end, I wouldn't even touch the check. I'd go, no.
I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve any. I wrote you a check. Here's a check for you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, a lot of people supporting that student. For speaking out.
I know that's probably, like, to the casual observer, that is not the time or place to air those grievances, but you have everybody's attention, and I guarantee you, whatever teacher she was talking about, referencing, the drunk teacher, the people in the office that didn't help, you know, they're on high alert at this point, going, all right, the jig is up. They know who we are now. We have to play by the rules now.
I wouldn't have done it.
No? No?
I don't know. A lot of people supporting her.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Jen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Let me just quickly close off our segment from the last half hour. We were telling you about a girl, a valedictorian at a high school in San Diego, who kind of unleashed a little fury. She's not happy with some of the staff at her high school, and during her address to the students as valedictorian, she made it known that a lot of the people at the school, her guidance counselor, some teachers, were not doing their job. So we were asking, was this the appropriate place to do this? A texter says, 847 says, did the young lady address the teacher and staff voice her concern. If no action or change went to the principal, if there was still no change from the school board and no change in the public, you need to give a person a chance. So it's their way of saying, don't just bring this out at the ceremony. Do this prior, and if nothing gets done, then maybe you bring this out. We have several texters saying essentially the same thing. Don't surprise the crowd with it. Do something beforehand, and if nothing gets done, then go at it.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I know I sound prudish on this, but there are hopefully the majority of the teachers, I'm thinking of my kids' high schools, the majority of the teachers are fantastic. There are a few and maybe a few guidance counselors that should retire.
Right.
But there are some great ones too. I think It is definitely the minority of these bad teachers.
Wouldn't you say though, if you were watching this earlier, you said if this was your child doing it, let's just say you were there, that your kid was graduating, but it was somebody else that was speaking. Wouldn't you say to yourself, there must be a problem, because this girl who's at the top of her class wouldn't address it if there wasn't a problem. There has to be something going on that isn't right.
I wouldn't think
you wouldn't
that because
do that?
It's the, you know, a handful of teachers. I'm sure there are some sucky teachers at a high school.
Right. But what does she have to gain? Like, the valedictorian really would have nothing to gain if it wasn't a serious issue, if it wasn't a problem. All she has to do is just speak for a few moments, say the things you're supposed to say at one of these things and move on. But she felt it was important enough to bring it out in the public.
Although,
so I would just go, it must be bad if she's talking about it here.
Yeah, but nobody'd be talking about her in the news right now if she said, these are the teachers that did a great job for me.
Right.
Why didn't she focus on the positive? Like, despite some terrible teachers here,
right,
here are the teachers that really helped me get the most out of this school.
Would you have thrown that part into the sentence, despite some terrible teachers? Would you have said that?
Because I would have been okay with that.
Well, give us an example or something.
No one's going to
go, I would like to hear more about these terrible teachers. Before you go on with your speech, let's focus a little bit on what you just said about the terrible teachers. I want to hear more about them.
I almost feel like she could have gotten away by saying there were a few teachers I ran into that were nothing but non-helpful, but here are the teachers.
But don't you kind of respect the fact that she was so specific? She singled out her guidance counselor who didn't help her at all, people in the office that didn't help her at all, a teacher that showed up drunk on more than one occasion. Like, she didn't leave it vague. She just said, just so we understand each other, here's exactly what happened or didn't happen.
I don't like it.
You don't like it at all?
And what if that teacher wasn't drunk? Then there's a big lawsuit coming here.
Yeah, what if they're diabetic and they slurred?
There's a chance of that.
There is a chance. But I agree with
But
Wendy.
If you're diabetic, you don't smell like Jim Beam.
That is true.
Usually.
But like the whole counselor didn't help me thing. When I first read the story, it came off a little entitled. Just because at schools, there's anywhere from 500 to 2,000, even 4,000 kids in some schools.
Yes.
And to expect first-class service from somebody, that's something that your mom and dad should do.
Yeah.
If you need to get scholarships, your parents should really be helping you out. Your counselors can help you out, but they have a lot of other children that they need to pay attention
but
to.
But here's
also.
The, I mean, as kids who just, Michael went through it.
Yeah.
And his counselor was fantastic and helped him, and there were transcripts that we needed kind of last minute. And she did it. And what they're trying to do, Jen, is teach these kids to advocate for themselves. So the parents still help a little bit, but they're trying to teach the kids to do it. Now, Dylan hasn't gotten to the applications for college yet, so we'll see what happens with that. But a counselor, you need some help with. They do have a lot of students, but they have group meetings and then they have one-on-ones. And there are some counselors that are definitely way better than others.
Sure. In every profession, right? But we've all heard stories about teachers who are tenured, and regardless of what they do or don't do, they know they have a job. It's a small percentage, but every school has a couple of teachers that you go, wow, are they just sleepwalking through this?
Well, that's where the school board should jump in. I mean, God, for the taxes we pay for our schools to have great schools, that's where, you know, they're aware of it. They should be looking at these teachers that are just phoning it in.
Right.
Because this is the time you're really shaping that kid.
You would think. Yes.
Bill wants to talk on the phone about this. 312-981-7200. Hi, listener Bill.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you think about this, Bill?
Well, being a former educator, I think what the girl did was the right thing, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this. There's an awful lot of politics involved in education.
Sure.
And some people do a good job and some people don't do a good job. And some people are protected through friendships, and if a principal likes someone, they could be doing a terrible job, but they'll keep them because they like them. So what the girl did, I think, was correct, and I think she probably tried to make an effort to do something about it beforehand, but bringing it to the forefront, I think she did a good job. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Bill, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I didn't know that Bill was an educator, but when I first read the story, the first thought was, if I was another teacher at the school who was doing everything they could to better these kids, I would love to hear a speech like that, because you say, finally, this problem has been brought out in the open. I'm working so hard every day to make these kids' lives a little better, make them a little smarter, work a little harder. There's other teachers not trying at all. Thank God, finally, a kid in some position is calling attention to this.
I would feel bad if I was a teacher there. Because I'd be like, what if somebody thinks that's me?
There's always a chance of that. But word spreads pretty quick through schools which teachers are good and which teachers aren't good. Don't you think?
I do think. Julie has called. Hi, Julie. What do you have to say about this?
Hi, how are you? Well, as for the teacher who was drunk, he was probably drunk because he knew she was going to be in his next period class.
Wow.
I'm with Wendy on this all the way. I mean, you know, Mother pin a rose on me, Little Miss Perfect. Put yourself in people's places 25, 30 years down the line. If she thinks she's not going to have a mistake or run into others with drug or alcohol issues, you know, she is only 18 years old.
Well, thank you for your opinion, Julie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I mean, I like if people speak up, and I think she should have spoke up about if there were definitely issues with these teachers.
Yeah.
It throws like a bad light on graduation.
Sadly, the article doesn't go into great detail about what steps were taken prior to this speech.
Because
I would
and
love
get her.
To know.
Let's
oh,
try
that'd
and get
be great.
Her as a guest, Jazz.
I would love to talk to her. All right, we'll work on this.
Tell her I'm her biggest fan, just so you know she'll do it. And I won't be. I just don't like rudeness, I guess. Yeah. I guess that's it. You know, yeah. Like end it by saying, you know, I've had some teachers that maybe didn't care that much, but here are the ones I want to single out. Or I don't like ending it on a bad note.
But
and then as an employer who might hire her someday, you know, are you going to be thinking, wow, cool for her, she stood up for herself? Or is she just whiny? I don't want her.
That's a great point. Is going forward for this particular girl. So she's the valedictorian at a high school. So she's obviously no slouch, right? You know, you can't be the valedictorian and be a bad student. They choose the best of the best. So going forward, as she's going into a job, let's say a potential employer knows this about her. Is that a plus or a minus? That's the best question at all. If I'm hiring somebody and somebody does this, I say, good for you. You took a chance. You did something pretty dangerous that day. I like a kid like that.
I'm not going to hire this person because they're, you know, where's...
Troublemaker?
It seems like it.
Yeah.
You know, and I like to see proof. I would like to see what kind of alcohol that teacher was drinking.
What do you guys think would happen to the three of us if all of a sudden we started pointing out the downfalls of every single person we worked with on the radio? In a public
house. I love everybody.
Jen, you already know this. That's,
right?
That's what
it's
Wendy
like,
and I do during the bonus hour every day. That's the whole 60 minutes of the bonus hour.
Yeah, I heard you said I was throwing pennies at you.
I did say that.
Well, I think people are going to listen to the bonus hour more than ever today.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. And this is, I mean, if it's on your mind, we're here for you. 312-981-7200. If not, we have more stuff up our sleeves. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
That's my friend Roy Spencer.
He is your friend. He's my friend, too. He saved my basement.
Yep. Many texts have come in. We've been talking about this girl, this class valedictorian at a high school in San Diego, who kind of took the school to task. She mentioned several teachers and school administrators who she believed had failed her and her fellow students. Your opinions are all over the board. Some say, yes, she did the right thing. You need to blow the whistle on people not doing their job. Others say essentially what Wendy has says, which is this was not the time or the place for it. Should have been done behind the scenes. One of the teachers she called out, she said, was drunk on occasion. A texter said that they never, ever point out when their favorite WGN personalities are drunk on the air. We thank you for that. It's very nice.
I don't do that anymore.
Starting now.
I never did. I did at other stations, but now you're at WGN. This is too important to me.
Yes, yes.
Plus, I don't drink that much anymore.
Yep.
But you, on the other hand.
224 says, this is a Me Too moment in the world of education. 847 says some people need to get over to get hit over the head with something to understand it. Yeah, I guess there's something to that. The texters are pretty mixed. Some of them say...
I think they're more in support of her, though.
Yeah. And somebody said you need to either see the tape or hear the tape of it. I have. The crowd goes wild for this girl. They love the fact that she's calling them out. And it seems like it's both students and parents, from what I can hear. You know? It seems like everybody's like, yeah, we knew there was a problem. Nobody's doing anything about it. Finally, somebody's brought it into the open. Thank you. That's what I'm getting from.
Although, if everyone knew there was a problem, why wasn't this brought forward to have it solved? That's all I'm saying.
Perfect question. I don't know the answer to that.
All right, Jan wants to talk about this. She's called 312-981-7200. Hey, Jan.
Hi. I've been listening to you, and it reminds me of when my son was in high school. And he was to give a speech for the National Honor Society. And I wanted to go to it. He said, oh, parents never go. He says, you just stay home. So being stupid, I did. And so, but anyway, when he got home, he did say that he gave his speech. And what it was that the National Honor Society, only thing they did was kids worked hard because they wanted to look good in their resume, but nobody ever did anything. And that they should be doing more around the city and this and that. So the next year, they were raking yards for old people. They were helping with things. And now they do some community service. So I do think that it did help get his point across.
Well, that's good. You have a smart and caring son, Jan.
Well, I'm proud of him.
Good.
Jan, thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
Let me make one more quick comparison, see if this registers. You saw or heard Jon Stewart's speech to Congress the other day where he called them out for not protecting, you know, the people who are the first responders. Their money's running out. They were doing their job. Some of them have horrible diseases like cancer. So Jon Stewart called out the people that were not servicing these people.
And they had to service them after that, because right, otherwise it would have been an embarrassment.
But don't you think sometimes it takes somebody like this girl at the school in San Diego or somebody like Jon Stewart to say, hey, enough is enough. We're not getting treated fairly. Sometimes you need a louder voice to get yourself heard. And without a girl like this showing she can do it, you don't get to the point of Jon Stewart where he was making himself heard and hopefully bettering these people's lives. Sometimes you need somebody to jump forward a little bit and say, this is ridiculous. Somebody's not doing their job, and it's costing us all.
The difference is she is not Jon Stewart.
She's not Jon Stewart
and
yet.
She didn't have all the... Like, he laid out the facts.
Right.
I didn't really hear facts.
But she was pretty specific. I mean, she didn't name the names of the teacher.
It's her word against theirs.
It is her word against theirs. I was glad she didn't name the teachers. I was glad that she just said, look, here's a couple of isolated incidents of teachers not helping me, a student out, or other students out. It would have been more dangerous to have named them right there. I'm glad she didn't do that. But you need to be at her level speaking out to get to Jon Stewart's level of speaking out. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Right? Or else nobody would do their job. Everybody would just go, well, there's no accountability anymore. What difference does it make?
I just don't think it was the right time or place.
No, I know.
But whatever.
Right. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. Eric Zorn will join us in a little while from the Tribune. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go.
Thanks, Jen.
By.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, in honor of Father's Day, which was yesterday, I have found a very, very helpful article about things that we used to do, or parents, I guess, used to do with their children that you could never, ever, ever do today.
Oh, I have to hear this.
The times have changed so dramatically that things that used to be perfectly acceptable could never be done today. Let me share them with you. The first one is very obvious, and I think you and I have talked about this at various times, that is letting your kids ride in the car without a safety belt. I never once, as a kid, put a seatbelt on. There wasn't a single time in a family car trip that I ever wore a seatbelt. You?
No, because you didn't have to. And if you were in like an old Buick Invicta, you would just shove them back into the seats.
Bury them.
Yeah, because they're uncomfortable to sit on this buckle, so just push them down in the seats.
Right.
Well, we used to stand.
Yeah. I've told this story before, but my dad had a couple of different cars that had, it was essentially a windshield, but not in the front of the car, just the shape of the car allowed for a windshield in back, and I frequently would lay on that back windshield while we were in motion, and nobody ever said anything bad about it. Take a nap back there. Go ahead, you're fine.
Sure, because they were out of your, you were out of their hair.
Yeah.
It's like, go back there, Billy.
Yep. We'd stand up in the back, hold on to the back of the car seat.
You My know. Grandfather used to pick me up for lunch in his giant Catalina.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could, except for the little hump in the back, remember on the floor?
Yes.
That, where the, I don't know what that was that the transmission?
There was something, yeah, there was some piping that went through the middle of the car.
That's where I always sat.
On the hump?
Yeah, because I was the middle child. Yep. I always ended up in the hump. And
the middle child doesn't mean you always have to sit in the middle.
I don't know why, but I just always ended up there.
Yep.
We even
called ours the Mary hump. We go, are you on the Mary hump?
And once I just crashed right into the windshield one day. My mom stopped real quickly on the way to the Jewel or something. Boom. Yeah, I think I've been concussed for my whole life.
By the way, if I may just add my seatbelt issues on Friday, it got twisted in the guide, which is also the clip to clip in your seatbelt.
Yes.
I took it to the dealer, and it took four guys, but they finally did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're like, you just have to inch it bit by bit. But I just want everybody to know that it took four guys for them to figure it out.
What did they use? What kind of
tool? Just their hands.
Oh,
they,
really?
They, it's like when a seatbelt gets twisted, or sometimes it turns around where you go to put it on, and the actual belt itself is kind of twisted. This was jammed into the guide, which is also the hook. You just have to inch it very slowly, bit by bit by bit, and then finally it breaks free and you can flip it around.
So you'll know in the future if that ever happens again.
I'm going to take it back to
them. You still take it back to them?
Because this was really locked in there, but it's also dangerous to use your seatbelt. Even though it clips and everything's fine, if the belt is twisted, it's not going to be as effective.
Sure.
So be careful out there, everyone.
These are things that parents used to do with their kids. You could never do these things today. Smoking around kids, that was commonplace. You saw that every day.
Some people still do it.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think that's right.
About around babies sometimes.
That's bad.
Around a little baby, I've seen it. This was always mystifying to me as a kid, but it seemed okay. This is where an adult would bite a child to show them that biting is wrong. Did you ever see that happen?
No.
I saw it more than once. It was a neighbor thing. One of my neighbors would do that. If their son would bite somebody, he'd go, come here, come here. And then he'd bite his own son on the arm. Do you like being bit? Well, neither does Andrew.
My Auntie Phoebe used to bite us a little bit when we'd go to kiss her. Needless to say, my brother didn't want to kiss her anymore.
Where did it take
She'd
place?
She'd like, just goof around and go
on
to
your face?
Try and bite your lip or your cheek, yeah.
Wow.
My Auntie Phoebe.
So your brother was the only one who found problems with that? You guys were like, yay, Auntie Phoebe's coming over. That means a bite on the face.
I got to be honest with you. I don't recall her ever doing it to me. Because I was much younger. So, you know, although you do bite babies. I have bitten my kids' feet so many times.
Really?
Didn't you when you were changing their diapers?
No. We have a no bite policy at the house.
Oh, my God. It's like, you're so cute. I just want to bite you.
And then you do.
Yeah, but not like I don't break the skin. I should try that with them now. Michael, come here. Let me bite
your
foot.
That'd be fine. They'd be fine.
I never saw anybody bite their own kid and say, this is what it feels like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, you grew up in a crazy area.
Yep. Dangerous zone. What about this? Giving babies soda. I remember seeing a documentary a couple years ago about the Appalachian Mountains and how it was commonplace to give kids Mountain Dew. And it seems weird that they would just single out Mountain Dew, but one of the scenes showed a mother filling up a baby bottle with Mountain Dew and giving the baby bottle to her young child.
Okay, I have never heard of that in my entire life. And this is a thing written down. I never heard of anybody giving soda to babies. Mary, have you ever heard of that?
No.
We had it at a fairly young age, not at baby level age.
Well, baby levels, if you're still using a bottle and there's soda in it, that's bad.
Right. I gave my son too much apple juice.
That toddler
his
diarrhea.
Teeth went a little bit. Oh. Yeah, his teeth were not good, and he still blames me today. But I used to dilute it with a lot of water.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. We just gave kids apple juice all the time.
That was what was in the hump, Mary. There was a little compartment you could open up, and there was, hey, Spee's apple juice. Who put this in here? This is great. See if you remember this one. This was commonplace in my house when I was little, but I wouldn't do this with my own kids. Giving your baby bourbon to help with teething pain. We did brandy.
We did vanilla extract. My grandma did whiskey. And my mom, somebody told, or maybe I did it when they were little, but instead of Orajel, you put vanilla extract because it kind of numbs it too.
And remind me, does vanilla extract have a little bit of alcohol
in
it? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Trace amount. The brandy that my mom used to give my brother all the time was pretty potent stuff.
Well, she didn't give him a shot glass. No. Wouldn't she just rub it on the tooth?
Yeah. You would take a cotton ball, you would dip it in brandy, and
I would just use my finger.
Yeah. And then bite the kid.
No.
You're still crying. Come here.
I only bit his feet.
That seems better.
Maybe his belly.
That makes more sense. Along the same lines, giving your kid alcohol to get them to sleep. Was that really a problem? Was that a thing? Were people giving their kids alcohol so they would sleep?
I suppose they did that till Benadryl was around.
Right.
Benadryl.
See, I have to tell you, with kids with ADHD, Benadryl has the opposite effect, and we found out on a flight one time with Michael. Someone said, oh, give the kid Benadryl, they'll sleep the whole way. If you have ADHD, it's completely the opposite.
Oh, no.
Because if I take Benadryl, I am, like, completely wired. I cannot sleep.
Yep.
So Benadryl is...
So if you have an allergy problem, you can't take a Benadryl, obviously. Because that's what you give a kid if they're having an allergic reaction. Right away, you give them a Benadryl.
You can, but be prepared for bouncing off the walls.
Right. See if this one makes sense to you, because I have a story about this one. Allowing kids to take public transportation alone.
I still don't let my kids do that.
My mother-in-law used to tell us a story. This is my wife Terry's mother. She lived in Rogers Park as a girl, and she would take a streetcar from Rogers Park to Chicago. And I go, when you were? And she would go, four. And I'd
by
go,
herself?
No. When you were four? Yes. Four. She was taking a streetcar from Rogers Park to the city.
I still, you know, unless you're used to it, I don't even think I could take a train by myself.
Now?
I don't know.
Because why?
I know I could go on the Burlington Northern to Union Station and then, but I would rely on Uber or a cab to get me the rest of the way anywhere I was going. I don't have a great sense of direction.
I don't have the thing that a lot of Chicagoans have where they just automatically know, well, you take the brown line to the red line, you cross over to the blue line, and then you're on the yellow line. It's easy.
But if
I don't
you
know
did
how
it
people,
every day, you would,
then
know,
you would
that.
Know. Right.
And, you know, Michael took the train downtown, and he was going to meet some friends, and I didn't want him to go alone, but he did, and he figured it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like taking public transportation. It's public. That's why.
Yeah, there's other people there. But you've heard stories, right, like the one I told you of people from a generation or two ago where, you know, they would put their kid on a bus or a train somewhere, and then they're in Phoenix a few days later, and you go, yeah, he's six. The guy, he can go to Phoenix. He's only six. He can do it.
I never heard that young. I know my grandma and all her sisters used to take the buses all the time. They grew up in Cicero, and they'd take buses to work when they were young, but not...
Like four,
teenagers,
five, or six, right.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I don't know how they got away with it. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more of these. Do you have some? These are things that adults did to kids years ago. You could never pull it off today. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Go Sox.
It's Bill Leff. It's Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wrong.
Stephen
That's
Wrong.
Who I am. His alter ego.
In honor of Father's Day, we're talking about things that parents used to do. Let me stress that. Used to do. You could never do these things today. You'd be hauled off. You'd be put in jail if you did any of these things today. For instance, you might have to help me with this one because I don't remember this one at all. Feeding newborns full meals. Was that ever a thing? I don't remember giving babies full meals.
If it was, I blame my mom for my eating. Yeah. Here, Wendy. What are you, a month old? Here's a steak.
Here's a turkey. Go at it. Have at it.
I don't know. I know that they used to give you food before a year old.
Yeah.
You know, when I had kids, I didn't know anything about them. So you read all those books.
Sure.
And, you know, don't introduce food until, you know, I don't even remember.
How old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe after 6 months, you can start with the baby food and start with vegetables. Because if you start with fruit, they'll only eat fruit because it's sweeter and better.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I don't recall.
I remember when there was a turning point where our doctor said it's now okay to give them Cheerios. And then that was like a big deal. But I didn't, like at the time, I'm like, if I was a kid, that wouldn't be a big deal to me. But boy, did they love the Cheerios. That's all they wanted to eat.
I know,
Cheerios.
And you'd get the little containers
Tupperware container. Yeah. They'd walk around with the Cheerios.
Exactly. Yeah. But then you realized it was a pain to wash all these little things, so you pretty much put them in a baggie.
Right.
And they still liked them.
Right. And on their birthday, we gave them a Fruit Loop.
Just one?
One Fruit Loop. Yeah. Happy birthday.
One Fruit Loop.
With a candle in the middle of the Fruit Loop.
One Fruit Loop is probably all the sugar of a handful of Cheerios,
yeah,
by the way.
Probably.
So good that you just did the one.
Yeah. This used to be a thing, but not anymore. Letting infants cry for hours. That was the theory.
Yeah.
Let them cry it out. They'll be fine. Let's let them cry. The neighbors love that theory.
Well, you do have to let them cry somewhat, but, you know, then you figure out if they've been crying for 5 hours, perhaps there's an issue.
It's time to do something. Yes. Putting babies on their stomachs to sleep. Now, didn't they keep flip-flopping on that?
Literally.
They did, right?
Yes. It was back to sleep for a while.
Right.
Because they said originally, if you put them on their stomach, they were thinking that the kids were breathing in their own carbon dioxide.
Mm.
Is that it? Or carbon monoxide?
I think one of them you only get from cars.
Right. So, well, whatever the one you get from people.
Right.
And that's what they were thinking led to sudden infant death.
Oh.
So then it was this big campaign on their backs.
Yeah.
But then that has changed again because if a baby throws up and they're on their back, they could choke on their own vomit.
Yep.
A la Jimi Hendrix.
Yep. I remember being at a party once where my wife and I were the only couple there that didn't have children, and a woman was telling the story about her baby not being able to sleep, and she's going on and on and on, and then I thought, I can say something that'll help her, and I said, maybe it's the pillow that the baby has, maybe it's a bad pillow, and everybody just got really quiet, and I go, don't you think maybe it could be the pillow? And nobody would talk to me anymore, and then I said, "Why? I don't know what happened," and then my wife said, well, you can't give a baby a pillow. But I didn't know that because when I was a baby, I had a pillow. I had a baby pillow.
Not in the crib, I don't think.
Yeah.
Your mom was trying to kill you.
There's a chance of that.
And you were supposed to, like, I got the big John Lennon, this cute little crib bumper and the sheets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're also not supposed to have the bumper in there until they're able to flip over because if they wedge their face.
Oh,
in
wow.
That, so, I mean, there are so many things. But I need to know, just to give proper information out there, that I got to find out how you lay a baby.
Yeah.
If you give a mouse a cookie...
It's a different... Oh. It's totally different.
I thought it was on their back in the swaddle clothes thing.
Yeah, it was...
the bunting. What is it called?
I think they changed it again. Somebody who has a current baby, not an old baby.
This is a modern baby.
The grandchild, and that's the last time I put her to bed. That's what I did. It was probably wrong.
On her back or on her stomach?
On her back.
On her back?
I think because it was...
It's on her back for sure.
It was...
They get the flathead sometimes now, the kids.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they changed it, though.
I don't know.
We got to find out, Mary. Yeah.
Well, then I was doing it wrong. Sorry.
That's
sorry,
all
Christopher and Sarah.
Well, ask the parents. The parents know.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what they told me to do. I mean,
oh, then they're then
babies.
You got to follow whatever.
It's not
whatever
on you.
No. Just have them sign some forms, Mary. You'll be fine. You'll be all right.
Exactly. I feel like you have to because you have to have the motion thing going in the video.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like there's so many things you have to
do. Is the motion thing a mobile or something else?
No, they don't do it, but some people have the sound, you know, machines
and
for their kids so that they fall asleep. They have to have little noise.
Yep. I had that too.
Videos, you know, so you can watch them.
Yeah, I guess it's still
monitors.
Lay your baby on their back. That's how I did it when Michael was born, and he's 20. But I thought there was another...
For a while, remember they had that one cushion thing that you'd put them on their side?
No.
And they had the cushion in the back.
Yes.
They had that for a while. That did not last long.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't know what happened with
you
that.
You missed
one.
It. Your kids were already born, I think, or prior to ours. It was like a little thing you'd put in the crib. And
like a wedge?
Kind of like a wedge. And they would stay on their side in case they threw up, as my mom would call it.
Side, that was That's the better. Side one. And that didn't last long. It's yeah. pretty sure that they're back.
Huh. Who makes that decision of babies on their back, on their stomach, or on their side? Is it
American Academy of Pediatrics, probably?
It would be them, yeah. Do you remember this? Letting your kids stay home alone. Now, I've already told you the story about how my parents, when I was 16, they would go to Las Vegas and they would leave my brother and I for 4 or 5 days while they were in Las Vegas. Not a single problem. But if a parent did that today, there'd be all kinds of problems, right?
You couldn't do
that now?
Not until I get the house wired, cameras everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. It's like the Big Brother house.
Yeah. Which is starting soon. I can't wait.
Sending your kids to bed without supper. Are you no longer allowed to do that? That was like the premium punishment for a while.
That's lame.
Just go to bed. You'll get nothing to eat.
You don't like what I'm making?
Talk to my lawyer. That's what I'd say.
Kids have lawyers
now.
Yeah,
talk to Mr. Cohen. Tell him what you told me.
Baby Cohen.
Right. Here's a classic, Wendy. Washing a kid's mouth out with soap. If you said something wrong, that was you were going to get some Palmolive.
I called my neighbor Bobby Keith a J off.
Oh,
and
you did? Bobby Keith?
Yes.
Oh, Wendy.
He wasn't either.
No, he's a nice man.
And somebody told on me. I don't think Bobby Keith did, but I think his sister did. And my mom washed my mouth out with soap.
And made you go to bed on your back. This will teach you.
No, but my mom used Liquid Joy.
Because
she didn't want to miss any nook or cranny. That was the worst.
That's horrible.
I know.
Awful.
And then I never swore ever again.
Did you swallow it?
I don't know what I did. I gagged. I know.
Blue bubbles for the rest of the day.
I had lava soap 1 year, too.
Oh, your mom was cruel.
Well, it didn't work.
No, it didn't work at all. And that Bobby Keith, he's still...
No, he's a great guy. Right
now? Now you make him eat Tide Pods.
All right, that is not even funny. And right. Address your emails to Ryan Burrow.
That's not funny, Ryan.
Can I just tell you, I recently made the switch to Tide Pods. I know this is going to sound terrible.
Not as a
terrible.
Punishment, but as a clothes brightener.
She said a bad word, yeah.
I can see why somebody would be tempted to eat them.
What?
I'm sorry.
Why do you say that?
Because they're cool. It looks like a self-contained Jello shot or something.
Especially when you put them in candy dishes outside and on your...
Again, Ryan Burrow.
Wow.
I'm being honest here.
I know.
They're fun and gooey. You got to leave the package closed so when you go to grab one, it's fun to squeeze and they're colorful and I can see why people would eat them. I didn't.
But you could see.
I could totally see.
All right, let's take a break.
We have something to give away.
Can we share the wealth?
Yes. We have 4 passes to the 12th annual Blackhawks convention. It's happening July 26th through the 28th. It's the greatest time of year when hockey's about ready to kick off. It's at the Hilton Chicago, featuring current players and alumni, autograph and photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and more. I know you missed the season, and the season hasn't started yet, so this gets you closer to the start of the season. July 26th through the 28th, a 4-pack. Whoever wants them, what number caller?
Wendy, I'm going to pick number 22 in honor of my best friend, Grant Mulvey, former Blackhawk great Grant Mulvey. We spent Father's Day together. We had dinner last night at the Sizzler. We had a very nice time. So caller number 22 right now, 312-981-7200.
All right, the rest of you, you can visit Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today. Good luck.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. Sing the praises of Zorn.
Did the greatest father have the greatest Father's Day yesterday?
I had a good Father's Day yesterday.
Did you get to see your dad?
I talked to him on the phone. I didn't get to see him, but all my kids got in touch.
Nice.
One of them was living at home this summer, so it wasn't that hard to reach
out. What if that didn't happen? Wouldn't you have felt disappointed?
No, I would have. It would have been pretty standard, you know. I mean, Father's Day, it's not... You know, Father's Day, I think fathers are generally overappreciated.
Overappreciated?
I do think so. Yeah, I think we get a good deal most of the time.
You know, I never told you this.
I think you're underappreciated.
Underappreciated.
I mean,
that's
Father's
the
way I go. Day, there's a small little section. Mother's Day gets this big event.
Yeah. Right. I guess I feel like I don't need a day like that because I just...
You're the greatest father in all the land.
I'm the greatest father in all the land, right. And it is acknowledged. I actually did text my kids and I said, I have the greatest kids, so I must be a great father.
Oh,
so,
that was very nice. A couple of years ago, you brought your dad in during one of these Monday segments, and he was sitting behind you, and you could just see he was beaming with pride. Every time you said anything... Because a lot of the stuff you say, Eric, it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't understand what you're saying. But he was just so proud of everything
you said.
Well,
maybe he's hard of hearing. You never know what he's...
That could be it. That could be it.
No, I have a great relationship with him, and then I think that has carried on to my relationship with my kids, that there's some modeling that goes on.
That's very nice.
But this Zorn, the Greatest Father, is going to be on my Lifetime playlist.
Is it?
Yes.
Tell us more.
Definitely. Well, I did a column on Sunday about this idea that was floated in a book that I just read called Dementia Reimagined by Tia Powell. And I've been interested in dementia and people living with dementia for personal reasons for a while now. And in this book, Tia Powell, she's a psychiatrist and a bioethicist. And she has made for herself, because her mother died of dementia and her grandmother died of dementia, she has made for herself a list of songs that she wants to be put on an iPod and played for her when she slips into dementia. There's a lot of research that shows that music, songs, familiar songs, have a way of accessing something in your brain when most of your mental faculties have gone. That's
fascinating.
Pretty well established science. There's been some documentaries on it. This isn't a new thing. There's an organization called Music and Memory out of New York that its sole purpose is to have people donate iPods. You know, nobody has those anymore, do they? I still do. Do you really?
Yeah,
because it's all on your phone, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
But they try to get these devices for the music players for seniors who are in assisted living, long term care, or even hospice, and they put on these iPods the music of these people's lives, music that will
spark memories, and it
lifts their mood. Now, it's unclear from the research whether this actually brings back specific memories, because a lot of what happens in dementia is biological. It's not like the memories are still there somewhere. The memories are gone, but there is still pleasure associated with
this.
And there are also instances where they'll have somebody who used to sing in a high school chorus, and they'll be uncommunicative and nonverbal, and they'll play a song, and suddenly they'll sing the words,
right?
The words that some things are in there, so they don't know exactly what this does, but they do know that it helps things like they were saying that some of the research shows that one of the things that happens to dementia patients is they have trouble swallowing. And they certainly have problems with agitation and behavioral problems. And this seems to diminish those sorts of problems. It brings down their blood pressure.
Calms them down.
So this has been known for a while. And what happens then with this music and memory organization is they'll go into these long-term care facilities and they'll try to find the music that sparks joy in people. Because it's buried in there, deep in there somewhere.
That's cool.
The resonance in there. So What Tia Powell decided to do for herself was to create her own playlist so that she would sort of spare people the difficulty of going through all the top 40 lists and going, this song, this song, this song.
Yeah.
And she made her own list, which she published in the book. And then she only did like the top 10 or 15, something like that. But her list inspired me to think that I should make my own list.
Yeah.
And what I decided to do is go back to, there are these various websites. This one is musicoutfitters.com. They have the top 100 songs of the year going all the way back to like the 50s and up through today. And I just went through some of those lists. And I started when I was 10. I thought that would be a good year to do it. Since then, I went back and I realized that actually I started listening to music, popular music, when I was about 9. I looked at the list. I started going back and realizing that some of the music from like the 1964, which is when I was 6, like there's some Beatles and Beach Boys and things that lingered on, so that mm-hmm. I would have heard them later. But I wasn't actively listening to the radio at that age. It really happened like when I was about 8 or 9, and so I started making this list of songs that I think will spark memories in me.
So just so I understand, all the songs hold some meaning to you. There's some significance to the ones you chose, or you just have some kind of general happy memory?
I have some general happy memories of them. They call back certain people or places or events, mm-hmm. You know, crushes that I had on people, or mm-hmm. you know, vacations that we were on. Because mm-hmm. music, you know, when you get to a certain age in life, I think this is probably true for most people, is that music becomes really important to you at some point when you're young.
Normally maybe, high school into college,
normally
wouldn't
high
you agree?
School into college, yeah. But even earlier, I think for a lot of people, I certainly listened to a lot of radio when I was in 5th grade, 6th grade, and so on.
Yeah.
And a lot of these songs, I have memories of where I was and the people I knew then. And to make that list, and the thing that she really recommends, Dr. Powell recommends for this list, is not to be embarrassed about the kind of crap that you like.
Right.
to be frank about it, that there's good. That when you're young, you know, your tastes are not sophisticated. You can say, "Oh, I only listened to the Doors, Dylan and the Doors." That was all for
What's
me.
What's the first song you remember?
The first song I remember, gosh. Well, I have a list here that I made for myself, but I have, like, from 1964, I remember I Get Around from the Beach Boys, mm-hmm. I Want to Hold Your Hand from the Beatles, and Last Kiss.
What's Last
where,
Kiss?
Where is my baby?
Where can my baby be?
Right.
The Lord took her away from me. Anyway. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world.
You know, the version that I have is the two of you singing it. It's so weird. I've never seen
that
it live.
That can be on your
I remember real quickly, we have to take a break and then we'll go through these. I remember my sister liked Herman's Hermits. I'm Henry the Eighth, I Am.
Yeah.
And I sang it with that, I'm Henry the Eighth, I Am. So that's probably one of my earliest that I remember. So
never
that
was
would
a
be on.
Sam, right. No Sam. Right.
All right. We'll talk more about this, more specifics coming up next. It's Bill and 20 along with Eric Zorn from the Tribune on WGN.
All right. We're almost out of time here. So we have to talk to Eric Zorn about what's going on in the world of your own personal soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, the idea that we were talking about is that when you get older, when you start showing the symptoms of dementia, music can be a way to offer you joy and to spark either memories or pleasant sensations. And so the most efficient way, is to go through lists of popular music going back.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned musicoutfitters.com has one, and I have no association with that.
They
site.
Go year by year.
They go year by year, the list of the top 100 songs of the year, and I was looking down those and finding some of the songs that resonated with me, and I'm making my own list out of that, so I can put that in my file along with my will. It's mm-hmm. kind of like a musical will in a way.
Yes, it is.
So that when you're in that stage of life that a lot of people get to, you know, as we get better at battling cancer and heart disease, we're getting really no better at figuring out dementia, and certainly it's incurable. So we're going to have more and more people in that phase of life, and God forbid it should be me, but
right.
I want to have that, you know, and then I can have a nice iPod of stuff. But there are some songs here, and one of the things that Tia Powell, who wrote the book where I got this idea, the Dementia Reimagined book about finding some joy in this stage of life, she recommends don't be embarrassed about the kind of music that you like. Don't try to be cool.
Right.
So I have some like there's a lot of Beach Boys in mind. There's the Monkees,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. I mean, you know, the Archies,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Sugar. Some other songs. These are actually, you know, on my list here. Snoopy versus the Red Baron.
Yep. Remember that?
I love that.
Do you remember who did that song?
I don't remember who did it.
Royal Guardsman.
Yes.
I mentioned the Ballad of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
I remember that song.
Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames did that one. Let's see. This is like not at all cool, but I really like the theme song to Hawaii Five-0.
So did I. I made up
the
a dance
Safaris?
To that.
Is that
yes.
Who did it?
The Ventures.
Is right. Gosh.
Very nice.
She just beat James Holzhauer. WGN's version of James Holzhauer.
Music.
Sounds like Wendy and I could have the same
soundtrack.
How about Gimme Dat Ding?
Give me that thing. Yeah, I remember that song.
It was a terrible song.
A lot of yours are novelty songs.
They are novel. I noticed that.
They're coming to take me away. Ha ha, hee hee. Oh, to the funny farm. Yeah. Mm.
No, but I think novelty songs do maybe have a hook into, because I do have also on my list Chickaboom.
Don't you just love it?
Don't you buy?
Yes, he does. Chickaboom.
Was that also the Archies?
No, oh, should have been, though. Daddy Two Drop.
No, I didn't remember that at all.
He's probably still doing state fairs
somewhere
with that thing.
But, you know, back then, the top 40s had a lot of novelty songs in them for some reason. You could be a novelty song and a top 40 song at the same time.
The Streak.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ray really?
Stevens.
Oh, that's got to be on my list, too. I think it but I've only gotten up to, like, 1980 right now.
Oh, God.
I'm still plowing through. But the truth is that once you get out of college, once you start getting into the working world, you start listening to more. You don't listen to as much music radio. You're more interested in what's going on in the world. I found myself, as I moved to Chicago, I was more interested in the news, and I was listening to a lot of WGN, WBBM. Yeah. I wasn't listening to the top 40 stations anymore. I was getting
more.
Because
you get a real job, it's like you got to pay attention to what's going on.
Music is still important. The songs are, they're in the air, but it's not. You don't go to sleep every night listening to the top 40. And there's also, I think, a phenomenon where there was this canon of music that everybody listened to, and I think that music has fragmented since then.
Yes.
And so that you are much more, you're hip hop, or you're like rock, or you're But this popular music that I'm looking at for these things. And there's also, it was interesting looking at these lists where you have on my list here is the theme from Love Story, Andy Williams.
Yeah.
And that was like total elevator music, total sound.
Right.
It was a number one hit, wasn't it?
It was way up there,
Love is Blue, that
blue,
it was actually...
Blue,
yes, exactly.
I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Wendy and I tell you, I'm just going to give her my iPod. Wendy and I are going to be sitting in the senior citizens, in the old podcaster's home, whatever we're in, and we're going to have...
We're
going to have an
drink.
iPod, and one earbud's going to be in my ear, and the other's going to be in Wendy's ear.
And you'll hear somebody yell, and this is a phrase you don't hear a lot, crank that Andy Williams. Somebody will yell from the back.
Crank that up. So it's really a fun exercise to do in a way, because you look back and go, oh yeah, I hate that song now, but I remember I did love it. Here's one. Do you remember who did the song Popcorn?
Yes.
Oh, this
That's exactly.
A hot butter.
Hot butter.
Hot butter, Wendy.
Hot butter, Wendy.
So, wow.
And so there's just, so you look at these things, and there's a number of things that are, good songs.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that I was a complete nerd. But
most of them, as you're saying them out loud, there's a little self-cringing, right? You're like, I liked that song.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. But it does bring you back to who you were back then.
Am I allowed to mention my song to Eric?
Yeah, I would like you guys to
It's going to be in my head all day.
I hate to do this to Wendy and to everybody listening. I've mentioned this before. There was a time where I loved the song Winchester Cathedral, and now when it comes on, I hate myself. I'm like, what in the world was I thinking when I liked this song? But it was on a mixtape that I would play all the time. Well, a girl hears this, she's going to melt like butter.
like butter.
Wendy, what about you? You got any embarrassing?
I have, and I do remember this vividly. In sixth grade, we were at a track meet in the back of the school, and there was a megaphone that one of the coaches was using to say, "Racers, on your mark." And I just remember singing, "Hey, hey, mom, I said the way you move." So Black Dog from Zeppelin brings me back to that particular moment.
Yeah.
That's not embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. That's kind of cool.
So that I can remember that.
Yeah. I got Andy Williams. I'm like, you got Zeppelin. I also have this is maybe the most embarrassing thing. I've got the I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing.
Oh, sure.
The Coke commercial
by the Hillside Singers. It was like stinking Coke commercial.
Yeah, I know.
And it had, but I remember listening to that a lot back in 1972.
Yeah.
And then it came back around at the end of Mad Men. Did you watch that series?
Oh, right. Yeah, at the very end.
The idea at the end was that Don Draper had actually written that song.
That was his deal. Right.
But what an embarrassing thing to have on your list. And so that's why it's got to be on an iPod, so that it just be in an earbud, so that your other senior citizens don't mock you.
We're out of time, but I want to quickly congratulate you and John Williams and everyone connected with your podcast. You guys won a nice major award last week.
We won the Silver Cloud for best podcast in the state.
That's fantastic.
And,
That's great.
It's not. It's completely expected, though, don't you think? No, it's a fun. It's a really fun podcast. We have a good time. And Johnson,
congrats.
Excellent host. Thanks.
Very happy for you. That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. He'll join us again in a week. I'll see you in a week.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
We'll take a quick break and then hand things over to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. You've been-